wisdom. Thank you for the revelation of Jesus. Father, and I pray that as this word comes, that it would just fall and produce 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody awake?
Yeah.
You having fun yet?
Yeah.
All right. You're not religious on me this morning, are you? Just going through the motions. You know, the Bible says in our text in James 5 this morning, pray for one another. Pray for each other. So I thought, well, let's just start with a little activation. Maybe it's somebody you just greeted 5 minutes ago, or you got something else. Ask the Holy Spirit right now for a prayer for somebody, okay? Holy Spirit, come. Just enable us to pray for one another. All right?
Yeah.
Go. Just take 5 minutes and go pray for somebody, or pray for one another. Swap off with each other. Just love on somebody. If you're here by yourself as a guest, I'm sorry for any awkward moments, but we want you to be blessed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah, there you go. There you go. More Holy Spirit. If you run out of words, just say more, Lord. More, God. Get them good, Lord. That's good. 30 more seconds. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing. All right, all right. Now, how many people are just feeling built up in your spirit right now? You don't have to fake it. You don't have to lie. I'm just saying, the Bible says pray for one another because, as we know, the Spirit of God dwells not in a temple made with human hands, but in this flesh and blood. Amen? So if the power of the Holy Spirit dwells in us as we pray for one another, there's an infusion, an equipping, and an impartation that begins to happen. And obviously that's a duh moment, right? Like, yes, of course, but how many of us, if you're like me, it's like a dumb moment, but have I remembered to go and pray for my brother or my sister? Have I been prompted throughout my week, even when I'm not with them, to continue to pray for them? How many people believe that prayer actually changes things? I know we do on Sunday morning, but what about on Tuesday night? Prayer changes things because God is not just far off up there with everything, like we're just these little puppets on a string where he's already got it in position. So have you ever had the thought, well, why pray? Because if it's all predetermined anyways, then does my prayers make any difference? I would say yes, because he's not a far off God. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's among us. As I just said, he lives in us. So as he lives in us, then he expresses his heart through ours. And we pray, especially according to the Spirit, we're in tune with the Spirit of God, and our prayers become very what? Powerful and effective. Amen. All right. You guys all right? That was great. You did so good. Thank you for diving in there to that activation. I was a little nervous about that. I was like, oh, at the beginning of the message, people, oh, you know. Nah, y'all are good. Y'all are good. So James, I was talking to a young man, a friend of ours, friend of the family, stayed over this weekend in our house. And this guy was, it just so happens, he was asking me about my messages. And I was like, well, I'm finishing up the series on James. And he's like, oh, that's wild. I've been leading this young adults group and we're studying James. And so we were chatting about that. And one of the things we were chatting about is how on the surface, on a casual reading of the book of James, the tone of it can sound kind of harsh. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It can almost sound like, whoa, is this Old Testament or New Testament? I mean, James is super practical, but it sounds pretty like, oh, dang, just went to meddling. Did you have to do that to me? You know, it's like he's sort of prickly. But then he was saying, yeah, except if you read it with a different lens. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, the lens of grace. When you realize that it's not, you're reading this book and the commands or the suggestions aren't just things you have to do. These are things that you get to do. So this morning, I want to talk in James 5 about prayer, the topic of prayer. But I want to start off by saying, listen, prayer isn't a have to. Prayer is a get to. Prayer as a have to is a religious duty that I once did. Prayer as a get to is something that I do out of love. It's like this woman right here on the front row. Do I have to remind myself at the end of each day? Well, see, Matthew, did you talk to your wife today? Well, I hope not. I hope that's not the nature of our relationship right now. Because I don't have to remind myself to talk to her. I get to talk to her. I want to talk to her. I love to talk to her. Now, I know marriages, even in the natural, go through ebbs and flows, ups and downs, and there may be moments of silence, as is sometimes our communication with God. But listen, even when you've gotten silent on him, he's never gotten quiet on you. He loves to come and chat. He loves to sit down and communicate. He loves to send you love notes. He loves to send you messages. He loves because he loves, because that's what he's like. And so therefore, it puts a new lens on prayer. Take off the yoke. Put on the easy burden. I was praying on the way here this morning. God, I pray that a light yoke and an easy burden of prayer would come on River Life Chapel Hill. Because, you know, in the history of moves of God in the earth, there's one commonality. They always began in prayer. Amen. From the Great Awakenings to the Voice of Healing to the Charles Finneys to the Spurgeons, whatever. You name it, a long time ago, and even most recently, there's always this rumble, I'm going to call it, a rumble of prayer that is erupting within God's people. Now, I have a question for you. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first, the prayer or the revival? That's kind of a hard question to answer, to be honest with you. On the surface, you would say, oh, that's easy, it's prayer. But wait a second. Did God initiate the revival in people's hearts that enabled them to pray? Because how many know in your own personal life the difference between that anointed Holy Ghost prayer where it's just easy and that prayer of like, I'm out of words. Like that prayer like, okay, bless the food, Lord. You know, like the prayer where you just don't really, that just doesn't feel like much of an unction on it. Yeah. I'm not saying that's bad communication. I think the heart of the Father is blessed either way. So, all right, that's kind of my intro. You guys good?
Good.
Now, how many remember the old story of the prophet Elijah and the prophets of Baal? The you know, all them back in the day. 1 Kings 17 and 18. I'm not going to take the time to go into that whole story and the context, but I want to remind you the Old Testament are types and shadows. Okay, I mean, there can be literal applications, but usually there are allegories in a literary term sense, right? They're types and shadows of what God's doing. And as I was reminded of this, I was thinking, Oh, this is so cool, because in our series here that we're calling, and again, you got to hear this through a good lens, pruning and purified. Pruning and purified. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to prune, cut away some things off of our prayer life. He wants to purify some things about our pure life. Now, remember, he's pruning, he's cutting away in order that growth might happen. So it's not a cutting away to take back from or to remove any. It's a taking away, it's a pruning back on some things. Let me just speak for myself. That might be a little bit more flesh, might be a little bit more mind-oriented, and he's replacing it with the true source, the heart, coming from the well. Who wants to pray some prayers? It's not just rote. It's not just a list. But it's a living well of gushing water, baby. That's coming up from the inside. Don't you love that? I mean, if nothing else, I kind of like the way that feels. It's not all about feelings. I get that. But it sure does help. I'm just going to say that. In 1 Kings 17, I'm just going to hit a few snippets here. Now, let me remind you. Elijah at this point is dealing with a very wicked king, Ahab, and his wife, Jezebel. Okay, so let's just put it this way. It's not smooth sailing in the kingdom of Israel, right? Does that ring a bell? It might not be smooth sailing in the United States of America in 2022 either, but God's on the throne. And Elijah was a man, just like you and I. I think Elijah is really special. I think of him as significant because in the New Covenant, when Jesus went up on the mountain, who appeared there transparent in glory, in the glory zone, in the glory of God. But they were glowing. There were two other people, Moses and who? Elijah. Moses represents the law and Elijah represents the prophets. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So in this story, though, back during his original ministry in life, he is just getting worn thin by what's happening here in Israel. And it says in verse 17, now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. Elijah began to make a decree. He began to make a declaration. I believe he's hearing from heaven. It's not just Elijah's words. He's hearing something in this friendship with Father God. He's hearing this thing coming from heaven. And this is his declaration. Remember, he was a man just like we are. Yet he understood that God had created him as a son. As a son, as a dearly loved son with an intention to rule over the earth and subdue it in a servant's leadership sort of capacity, in order that the glory of God might be revealed. So he literally prayed, heard, however the case may be, drought for 3.5 years. And the earth listened. The earth listened. And he prayed for it to rain after 3.5 years. And here's what happens next. Jump over to 1841, 1 Kings 1841. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go, get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. Yes. Can anybody hear just a whisper of rain in the atmosphere? Can anybody hear the spirit rain of the Holy Spirit? You know, when it just starts to go pitter patter. Bitter batter on the roof. Just a slight, is it drizzling out there? I feel like that's kind of where we're at spiritually in our nation today. Bitter batter, bitter batter. There's little pockets where the clouds are a little thicker, little places where it's getting a little heavier. I don't know how to quantify that here, but bitter batter. Can you hear it? Can you see it? So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. I was trying to get a mental image of that. Pray with his face between his knees. He's part praying, part hiding. Like, oh God. Then he said, it's like, oh God, if you don't come through this time, I'm in trouble. They all gonna kill me, Lord. False prophet, Lord. I know it's coming. So he's praying, and then he said to his servant, go and look out toward the sea. So his servant went and looked, and then returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see what? I didn't see anything. Elijah, has anybody ever prayed and nothing happened? God, where are you at? Has anybody prayed and then prayed again and still nothing happened? How about prayed again and again? And it doesn't seem like anything's happening. Seven times this happens. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look. And finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. That is a small cloud. I mean, seriously, that is a small cloud. If you're looking out on the horizon, you saw a cloud, but man, you got to have the eyes of faith. And see, the eyes of faith I see in this room. I see the eyes of faith rising up in your hearts. The eyes of faith can hear rain, even if it's not as much or yet. The eyes of faith can see things getting wet. I see the Lord moving on this retreat. I see Him touching people on campus. I see Him in my family behind the scenes. Because remember what the great confession of Romans is. It's like, although these things didn't exist, but by faith you can see them, right? These are the eyes of the Spirit. We can see that God is moving by faith. So seven times, and finally, when they saw the little cloud, Elijah shouted, hurry! Climb into your chariot, Ahab, and go back home. And if you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm. And Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord, I love this part. This is one of those type and shadow things. The Lord gave special strength to Elijah. Now, if you get supernatural, like Speedy Sprague, like all of a sudden you can outrun Speedy. It's like Jamar and Speedy in a foot race. No offense, Jamar, because I'm going to say this. I wish I had that on film. How many know it would take something supernatural for Jamar to come out over the finish line before Speedy? But in the spirit, if we think about the race, like Paul said, I run the race. Right. I run the race for the prize of the high calling. If we think about that spiritual race, we're all like a spiritual Speedy Sprague. We can all rise up on wings like an eagle. We can run and not grow weary. We can walk and not faint. We can soar on the wings of the wind. And that's the secret, church. That's the secret for the hour we live in our nation today. And the purpose of all the pruning and the purifying is because I see something greater. I see a bigger purpose. I see something that even though the devil may be roaring, God can use all things for good. For the purpose of those in this room who love Him. You got to see it that way or your prayers will be limited. Your prayers will pray out of frustration. Hello. Your prayers could even be out of anger. Your prayers could be self, 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 natural, natural. And God's saying, no, I want my people to rise higher. I want us to see something differently. And you see, I think this is the end of James right here. I've always read this passage I'm about to read in a few minutes about like healing in the church, because it's the one where you call the elders if someone's sick. And it is that. It's a great, great application of that. But as I read these six verses, I was like, seven times prayer is just mentioned here. And so before we read that, let me just ask you this question. How is your prayer life? Now, in my years of ministry and serving Christians with that question, usually the first response is you get is like, well, you know, it's not what it should be. That's usually the way it's verbalized. And I really sincerely believe this. I don't believe that's how the Lord, the Father God, is seeing you right now. Because most of the time, again, if I take the survey questions a little bit further and deeper, when people feel negatively about their prayer life, they're thinking of a type of prayer that is usually defined as like deep intercession. They're thinking about like when you pray, go into your closet, shut the door, you know, spend 2 hours on your knees, head bowed, hands, whatever your image of prayer is, I believe God wants to get you into a new wineskin. Because if I'm going to pray, all right, let me be careful how I say this. It's not that that's wrong, but sometimes God needs to trim off religion. Hello. Is that connecting at all? Sometimes we all come from different backgrounds, right? I know my father-in-law, Chuck, Sarah's dad. He's out smoking the meat, by the way, and it's going to be good. But he said when he was growing up, like you were taught in Sunday school as a young kid, don't you dare start praying without bowing your head and closing your eyes. Oh, you know, and hands folded. I'm not going to go all the way to the knees, but he grew up in religion, in the church. Like when you pray, this is how it must be. And years later, when he got filled with the Holy Spirit and he began to really experience prayer and communion, he realized, okay, that's a limited view on prayer at best. So you just need God to speak to you about you. Because again, we're all coming from different places. I mean, I come from a heritage of the charismatic movement, which I would quantify as being pretty strong in Holy Spirit prayer. But here's what I realize. We're all susceptible to the spirit, to a religious spirit. Let's just put it that way. Pastor Byron was talking about that in our school of ministry this past Tuesday, is that religious spirit that can try to get on all of us, that Jesus warned them about, like be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's a religious spirit. In other words, the religious spirit are those religious leaders that had the very Son of God standing in front of them and hated him and killed him. Like that's the ultimate expression of a religious spirit. But the way that a religious spirit can impact any one of us, even right here at River Life Chapel Hill in this room, is getting stuck in the same old. Yeah. Right. You see, because the enemy in a way wants you there. Because if you get stuck in the same old, well, that's the way God did it 10 years ago. That's the way it's got to happen. The Holy Spirit is a moving, flowing river. He wants you to keep swimming. He wants you to keep diving in. He wants you to keep moving. Another way to say it is he's a spouse. He's a father. He is a lover of your soul. And a love relationship is always changing. It's always moving. It's hopefully going from glory to glory in a sense. It's growing in intimacy over a lifetime. That's the goal of marriage, right? That's what we're shooting for. We're not there yet, perfect at it, no. But that's what the goal is in marriage, is that we can love for a lifetime. If you think about your prayer life, think about it in that way. Like, okay, I was chuckling the other day. I don't remember who I was talking to. But we were talking about, I was thinking about when I was first got saved, I learned GCD on the guitar. You know, and I can only play like 3 songs, but actually you can play a lot of worship songs with GCD. And if you can learn E and A, I mean, you're soaring. You can play Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. I Exalt Thee. You can do that in E. You can do all kinds of stuff. And I remember just sitting in my room and just banging that guitar in a good way and just singing my heart out. And the cool thing about that is even when you don't sing good, even when you don't play well, there's only an audience of one. And the fragrance and the presence of God would just fill my room. And then as I got older and then I got married and then we had some little babies. How many know, parents, you know, Chris, when the kids are asleep, you can't sing at the top of your lungs and bang your guitar. I mean, you can, but the rest of your wife's going to be mad at you because them babies are waking up. So I would literally, at that time, we lived just across the street from our church. I would get up early and go over to my office, and people would talk about their quiet times. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I got a loud time. But the other day, I was reminded of that, and I was thinking about how quiet my time is right now. Because this person, whoever I was having the conversation with, was saying that they used to have these really exuberant, I think it was Michael Fahm, actually. He used to have these really exuberant times, but in the season where he's out with the Lord has taught him about the still, about the quiet. I was like, bro, I know exactly what you're talking about. I think this was in the tent on Tuesday. We were chatting about this. I was like, I know. It's almost like that story. I think it's Elijah or Elisha, where he's waiting for God to show up. And there's a whirlwind. God's not in that. There's a, you know, earthquake. God's not in that. And then there's the still small voice. And there's where God is. And we were chatting on Tuesday night at River Life, and all of our exuberance and all of our volume, could we handle if there was a holy hush that just settled over the room and God was in the room? The reason I'm saying that is to break off our mentalities of the way things have to be. So when I ask you, how is your prayer life? Let the refreshing wind of the Spirit come into your soul. If you love Jesus, the truth is, my prayer life is great. Sometimes the best prayers you could ever pray are driving down I-40 or on your way to work, whatever road you travel. The best prayers you can pray is when Jesus is, as the bumper sticker says, Jesus is my co-pilot. I leave that sticker off my car. Because I don't drive very well. I don't want to mess anybody up out there. What's wrong with that dude? He just cut me off. Jesus is my co-pilot. Those Christians, there they go again. I'm being goofy. But you understand what I'm saying? Let God speak to you. Because I feel like for our church right here, this season is going to come about in a season of prayer. But it won't be accomplished by have-tos. It'll only be accomplished by get-tos. It won't be accomplished by, brother, we got to pray, you know, and like, let's gather them all up, and like, ooh, and it's like, who's ever been in meetings like that? I mean, God bless it, but it's like, I'm not saying you don't call a prayer. You understand, like, you got to hear my heart here, okay? There's many, many different types of prayer. I might get into that in coming weeks. But I'm talking about that intimacy. I think all types of prayer, truthfully, are birthed out of the intimate prayer. Even sometimes the still quiet prayer, the learning to hear the Father's voice, the learning and the listening. That's where it all starts. Because then if you go into a group prayer meeting or a corporate prayer meeting or an intercession or whatever, then you got a well in order to even be in that meeting from. Are you following that? Man, let's get to the text here. I wanted to get done at 11:30 today so we can get prepped for this party because, you know, I'm shooting for a rap battle here. You know, we got to have some freestyle. See, Jamar's like, oh, man. Speaking of prayer, God, so how do you define prayer? I mean, I'm giving you my shot, but I'm really praying that I can give you my shot based upon the word. Based on just, hey, what is prayer like? Go look at the life of Jesus. That was a good place to start. How did he pray? He got away. He withdrew. It seems like it was sort of quiet, you know? I wasn't there, I don't know, but he definitely was with him and the Father, FaceTime. Because God's pruning and purifying your perspective and mine on prayer. James 5, 13 through 18. This is it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So if you haven't been here, I call this the book of Jacob because there's no actual Hebrew name for James. James, we got probably to thank from the 1513 publication of the King James Version. So there's no Hebrew or Greek for the name James. So really, the guy who wrote this book to the church, who's the brother of Jesus, his name is Jacob. Okay, so the graphic keeps saying Jacob just to catch you up to speed. But for all of our understanding, James 5:13 is probably what your Bible says. I'm reading through the NLT right now. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. As you were being led by the Spirit to pray for people at the beginning, did anybody sense like a hardship? You know? You should pray. Carry one another's burdens, right? Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Isn't that amazing? But then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So 6 perspectives on prayer real quickly that are just right there in the text. Number 1, you should pray. Right? You should pray. This is what Jacob says up here at the beginning. Are you suffering any hardships? You should pray. Included in prayer is singing. Did you know that when we sing, we're praying? They're all intertwined together. Pray, sing, worship, love God. But again, number 1, you should pray. It's a get to, not a have to. It's like, I think if you live in Chapel Hill, you should go to Al's Burger Shack. I'm not getting paid from Al to give a plug, but if you want the best burger in town, you should go to Al's. I mean, that Mookie burger, ooh, them caramelized onions. Oh, shoot. You're not supposed to talk about food in church. On Sunday morning, somebody called me down last week after the service. He said, would you please not mention the Chick-fil-A combo while you're preaching? He's like, because as soon as you said Chick-fil-A, I didn't hear anything else you said the rest of the sermon. So I'll stop talking about burgers because we're not eating burgers at the party today. We're eating pork butt and chicken, whatever they're cooking up. Whatever y'all are bringing, bring a side, a dessert with you. Whew, I hear Lucy's bringing some legendary cookies. Is that true? Pumpkin chocolate chip? Man, see, the preacher got messed up. Now I can't even say anything else because all I want to do is talk about food. Number 2, understand your kingdom authority when you pray. Okay? It says call the elders of the church to pray over the sick. And that's true. There's an aspect there. But I also want to read into this that not just the elders, but what does 1 Peter say is we are all kings and priests unto our God. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
You find somebody sick, you got a loved one sick in the hospital or at home, you don't have to just call the pastor or the elders. You can say, by God, he has placed his anointing on me. Jesus said to all believers, you will lay your hands on the sick, and if you're an elder, they'll get healed. No, wrong. Mm-mm. Lay your hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Elijah, it says here, was a man just like you and I. And he prayed that it wouldn't rain and it didn't. And then he prayed again and it did. What is that? The kingdom authority that is on the inside of us wants to raise up right now during this season. Are there dark spiritual clouds? Yes. But is God bigger? Yes, because his rainstorm will far surpass any plan of the enemy. Number 3, when you pray, pray in faith. Well, how do I do that? The secrets that I was telling you out of a place of intimacy. Because when you first connect with your Father in the intimate secret place, you automatically get Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the faith that I now live by is the faith not in the Son of God, but the faith of the Son of God. How many know that his faith is better than mine? And so when he lives in you, it's Jesus's faith. It can literally be seen as Jesus, the very Son of God, praying to the Father through you. Go read John 17 if you want to know what that would look like. Jesus prays for his disciples. He prays for all Christians. He prays for the church. What does that look like for Jesus to pray through me? That place of intimacy is the place of faith. Are you guys okay? Yeah. Number four, pray for each other. We did that this morning. Make it a routine. Make it a habit. I think usually in the natural course of life, we all have these different spheres. You know, we have our family first. We have our coworkers, our school, or whatever around us next. And then we have other friends or family, extended family around us next. Ask the Lord God, show me who and how to pray for them. Write it down. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. And just like Elijah and the rain, even if nothing happens at first, continue to pray. And then eventually see by the eyes of faith that cloud the size of a man's hand. Bless God. God's doing something. He's up to something here. I'm here today because of a praying mama. She's sitting right there, Martha Bollinger. And a praying two grandmas, Barbara McNeely, who's in the great cloud of witnesses, and Joanne Bollinger, who's still alive. Great women of faith. One of the scriptures in the Bible should be, could anything stop a praying grandma? Stop. Come on. Who knows about this? And like when Sarah also has a lineage on her side of the family. I remember when her grandmother, who went by not grandma or grandmother, but Happy. That was her name. She called her Happy. Happy and Dada were her grandparents growing up. And I remember going to visit Happy when she was in the nursing home for a few years before she passed. And I believe as I talked to her, it was remarkable. Like she had such faith, and she couldn't literally go out and do much of anything, you know? And I was thinking one day, I think probably more happened in for the kingdom while those years that Happy was in the nursing home than maybe the other parts of her life. Not that she wasn't active in the kingdom otherwise, but you know what I'm saying? It was like the prayers of Happy in that nursing home could move mountains. Lord, teach me how to pray like Happy. Yeah. You know? Number five, pray from your inheritance as a son or daughter of Abraham. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, it's said in the text that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. And how many know that sometimes we come to God in prayer not exactly feeling like the most righteous person? Let's just be honest. Or, okay, maybe that's just me. Okay, Lord, you know better than to put quantifiers on or qualifiers, but it's like, I just don't know if I should open my mouth right now. Does God really want to hear from this messed up vessel or something like that? But I just want to remind us of something. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Just like Abraham. Abraham was in a polytheistic family when God came to him and he spoke to him, and then Abraham just took him at his word. And the Bible says that because Abraham believed, he was credited as righteous. What does righteous mean? In right standing with God. Yeah. And so your inheritance in Abraham through Christ is that you are in right standing with God. Therefore, the Bible says that our prayers are like a fragrant incense that rise up. And then apparently there's these bowls in heaven that the prayers of the saints, it fills these bowls. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I always see those bowls like getting to the tipping point. And then almost like the persistent widow that just wouldn't stop asking. It's like you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. And then all of a sudden it just flows over and boom, it begins to manifest in the earthly realm. Ask God for visions like that of your prayers. What is the effect of my prayers? Because God has made you righteous by shedding his own blood. Yeah. Number six, just pray with persistence. Speaking of Elijah there at the end of the text, when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again. Everybody say again.
Again.
Keep praying again. How many people have been prayed to be healed many, many times? Raise your hand. Pray again. Pray again. Lord, do it again, Lord. Lord, I stand upon the promises. I stand upon your covenant. I stand upon my friend's testimony. Lord, I stand, whatever it is, God, I stand upon your word. You spoke to me, Lord. Do it again. Let us never stop and persist and persist. And God is going to hear our prayers. Why don't we conclude with this? You guys know it from Matthew 6, 9 through 13. When the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, show us how to pray. He said, in this manner, right? Pray. I'm going from the good old New King James. Therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be what?
Done.
Where? On earth as it is. Give us this day our daily what? Our daily bread. And forgive our debts or our sins or our transgression as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Let me just stop, Lord. God, I just forgive right now. Just forgive right now. Let's just take a pause. I forgive you, fill in the blank quietly. Forgive them, Lord, because they didn't know what they were doing. They might have thought they did, but if they would have really known, they probably wouldn't have done it. But God, whatever the situation is, I've been forgiven so much. So it's the least I can do to forgive. God, I just ask you to remove any barrier of unforgiveness in our hearts, because we know that it hinders our prayers. God, so we just thank you for teaching us how to remain a conduit of the kingdom through forgiveness. Amen. And as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into what? Yeah, Lord, let the tempter just stay far from us. We resist the devil and he's got to flee from us. In the name of Jesus, I just break every temptation that's upon this church, God. Any temptations towards addictions or depression or whatever, just break it right now in the name of Jesus, God. And this is the good part at the end, right? Deliver us from the evil one. For yours, O Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. You guys stand with me. God, we just thank you that prayer is not a have to, but a get to.
Yeah.
And Lord, I just pray that that light burden and that easy yoke would become upon us now. Just receive that by faith. Just tell the Lord, I receive you, Lord. I ask you, Jesus, to pray through me. Pray through us, Jesus. Holy Spirit, baptize us fresh this morning in order that we may pray according to the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Lord, let us pray in the Spirit and when necessary, use words in English. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would rise up like a geyser in our bellies. And Lord, we would just unexpectedly find ourselves just in prayer. Lord, even in the middle of the night, I just see people, don't worry, I'm not praying that God wakes you up at 3. I mean, unless you want to, but do you, I'm sorry, I'm pausing my prayer, but do you think it's possible to pray while you're asleep?
Yes.
Yes.
In other words, this is a whole nother sermon, but I do think the night season is special. I mean, it can be, and I do think even in that space, whatever that is, of sleep and in between sleep and all that, the Holy Spirit can pray through us. Even without words. I mean, I've often prayed through my thoughts. You know when you're walking campus and it's like you don't want to look like the guy who's talking to himself? But it's really a good time to pray. but I don't want to look like this guy who's like schizophrenic. So, but I'm going to pray. Have you ever prayed in your thoughts? Do you think God can hear you? Absolutely. So what about in your sleep? So God, pray through us. I think you really want to intercede through us, God. And we're just making ourselves available. And so we ask you to break religion off of us. Lord, somewhere where a past season or another tradition, they put this burden on us that wasn't from you. God, we reject it right now. We take on the light burden, the easy burden. Amen. It's like the easy button. That's easy. Lord, we just hit the easy button this morning, God. We love you. We thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Love y'all. Be blessed. Hope to see you out there beside the grill and the bonfire. Roast some marshmallows. It starts at 4 over there. If you need directions, see anybody or one of us. I think, are there still some flyers out there on the table? I think there's still some little green direction flyers. But you can come anytime after 4. It's not like it's a come and go kind of thing. Be blessed.